So I just started to pass around a sheet of paper where you can sign up if you'd like to receive more information about all of the initiatives that Teresa just listed and updated, and information about what both Ron and I are discussing. So I'm going to talk a little bit about a study that was conducted over the last year by the National Network of Public Health Institutes in partnership with one of our members, the Illinois Public Health Institute, to explore whether creating a performance improvement professional association would be a feasible strategy for helping to sustain some of the work that has been done thus far. Before I do that, though, I'd kind of just like, by show of hands, for those of you that were in local health departments, to get a sense of sort of where you are in accreditation readiness, performance improvement, if you would consider yourself or your organization to be advanced, well engaged in performance improvement and accreditation readiness activities, will you raise your hand? Okay, good. I'm going to want a lot of feedback from you all. Okay, what about intermediate and beginner? Okay, so we're preaching to the choir in this room, I think. Mm-hmm. So you can see this sort of association, dot, 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 society, dot, 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 network. We weren't quite sure what this would look like, the creation of this association, whether it would be a society or a network, and what is the difference between all of those. And so we conducted a study over, again, the last year that included getting input in three ways. The first is that we got practitioner input through two focus groups. These were held, one of them was held at the public health improvement training that Teresa talked about. The other was held at the open forum meeting that Teresa also talked about. So we had two focus groups with a total of 15 participants, and we also had an online assessment with 289 respondents. We got national partner input, and so through interviews, we talked to a lot of the national public health organizations who are providing services around technical assistance and training for the performance improvement workforce, or those in health departments that are engaged in performance improvement. We also talked about, we talked with associations from other fields, and so we wanted to understand from those associations that already exist, what are some of your key lessons learned, what was your organizational structure, what was your financing model, how did you do it, and sort of what tips do you have for us as we think about that. So we did a lot of website research as well as conducting interviews. So I'm going to talk a little bit about some of the things we found through this study. Now, this information is really hot off the presses, which means the first time I saw kind of the preliminary findings was last Thursday. Was it Thursday? It was Thursday. It was Thursday. So I'm only going to show you a really small glimpse of what there is, but there's more data to come, and if you have signed up on that sheet, we'll make sure to share with you the full report. So the breadth of the findings, there was the survey with the 289 respondents, and then all of the other data that we had was qualitative, and so there's a lot of information to sort of sift through and understand. But the findings spoke to what is the interest and the desirability for creating this kind of association, what should the infrastructure and governance look like if this association were to be created, some ideas around the business model and the financing, key lessons from other associations, and then what would the functions be for this association? So what are some of the needs out there that are not being met that potentially the creation of an association could help fill? So as you can see here, from the focus groups, what we heard is people were interested. They liked the idea, but they really needed to understand more about what the association is going to do. What gap is it going to fill? What sort of purpose and value add would an association have? Five out of the six national public health partner organizations felt that it was a good idea to continue to explore. There was one who felt that it was not a good idea, or that at least that partner was not interested. And then from the survey, you can see that 29%, 33%, and then 29% again were either somewhat interested, interested, or extremely interested. The numbers sort of go down when you look at who will be interested in helping to establish such an association, which is probably not surprising. Yes, yes, we want it, but not sure we can help actually pull it together. So some of the high-level themes that we found is that if we are thinking about an association, we can really only develop it if we can articulate very clearly what the value add is going to be. So to have a clear vision, a purpose, and a value proposition. Also, we heard that we, when we think about membership, we should allow a broad membership. And this is somewhat of an interesting point because we heard a little bit of conflicting information in the data that we have, and that some folks felt in order to really professionalize and specialize the field, we need to be very narrow in who would be allowed to be a member of this association. And other folks said, no, you really need to keep it broad and allow sort of everybody that's engaging in any kind of performance improvement to be involved. And the rationale there is that if performance improvement is being done well, it's being done by everybody in an organization across the entire organization. Probably not surprising, there was recommendations that this really be membership driven, and so that the members not only give input, but participate in decision making, participate in the design and execution of such an association. There were also thoughts around engaging national partner organizations and other organizations in the design and implementation, and so not in just a superficial way where we will have a page you know, that says these are our partners and list the partners with links, but really to have this be kind of a partnership created effort. Don't recreate the wheel, so build on the success of some of the existing collaborations that are existing. One thing that we heard loud and clear is don't create a whole new thing. Don't create a whole new organization. If this is something that you're going to do, then it should be integrated into an existing organization that's already doing some of this work. And then with regard to professionalization, we asked about you know, whether professionalization would be a value, something along the lines of certification or other indicators of professionalization, such as creating practice standards would be a value, and the field, the folks that there were practitioners that responded, did not respond highly to this. They didn't feel that that was something that was important. But interestingly, the National Public Health partners who are serving the field did feel that it was important. So we had an interesting conflict there and are going to look at the data now to see, you know, what practitioners said versus what some of the public health partners who are serving them said. So some of the characteristics of a host organization would be to have a strong reputation and credibility, existing expertise, appropriate capacity and structure, support from other partners who already have a good relationship with the other partners in the field, a mission and vision that actually align with the goals and the values of the association. Open and honest relationships with practitioners and national partners, and then transparency in communicating how the funding should be spent. I think here what I just really want to say in terms of the governance, this goes back to what I said before about having membership really guide the design and implementation of such an association so that it be membership driven. And then the other thing that I want to point out is that we make sure that we have all appropriate groups represented, and so that we ensure that we have tribal representation as well as representation from territories. Okay, so this is the piece I want to talk about for just a minute. In the survey, there was a question that asked about a lot of potential functions of such an association. And one question asked, you know, how important is this service to you? or this function to you, and then another question asked, are you already receiving this service or function? And so the first column, could I have my water? The first column is the mean level of importance between important and very important. And so above 2 is fairly high. There are actually a lot more that are below 2 that I didn't list here. And then the next column asks, are you receiving that service? And so what you'll notice here is that some of the things that rose to the top were training. That was really, really high, and about 46% of the people that responded to the survey said that that need was being, or that they were receiving training. Leadership development rose to the top as well, with a high need, or a high level of importance, I should say, and a low low rating on whether that is that need is being met. And then another one that I thought was interesting and was requiring us to think a little bit differently was networking with other professionals at the regional, state, or local level. And so this caused us to think a little bit about, so, you know, where are we as national organizations connecting with all of those regional and state-based organizations that are providing services within their state? And so how can we potentially help support those regional and state-based organizations to have networking opportunities for the folks in their state? A couple of other things that we heard. The first one, the single point of entry, is we heard that just loud and clear. I think it, if it could have jumped out of the data and smacked us across the face, it would have. That folks were confused about all of the resources that were available. And so there are a lot of, I see heads nodding, there are a lot of performance improvement resources that are made available from various national partner organizations as well as state-based and regional organizations. However, to know where to go for what and who to go for what was really very confusing. And so people had to go to a number of different websites to access that information. They weren't sure who was really the expert in what. And then often when you get there, if you visited any of these websites, you'll know that there may be a list of resources, you know, 2,000 things long. And so to understand which is better, which isn't, which should I use, was confusing. And so this idea of a single point of entry came up, where they could understand better what were the resources that were available. Also, the idea of advocacy rose pretty high, and I think that's a little bit tricky when we're talking about funding that usually cannot be used for advocacy. But there was definitely a need for, we need kind of a collective voice that's speaking about this performance improvement of field in public health. And then also to develop competencies. And so Ron is actually going to talk about some of the work around developing competencies, but there was some thought around if we could have sort of an idea of what the basic competencies are, that would help us come together with a collective voice. So our current sense of things is that, this is from one meeting on Thursday where we reviewed all of the data, so it's by no means final. We identify that there definitely is a need to coordinate resources, a need for leadership development, although we're not 100% sure exactly what that means yet. Like, we need to get a little more information. Connections to regional, state, and local services, advocacy, shared learning opportunities and training, and competency development. But at this time, we aren't sure that creating an association with specific defined membership is the answer to meeting these needs. And although we heard strong support for the creation of association, I think what we heard was strong support for doing these things that are listed here, not necessarily doing them, you know, through an association. And so what we're going to do from there is take some opportunities to hear from folks, and so to really present all of this data that we have and hear from you all, does this work, does this resonate, you know, what's right, what's wrong, what rings true, what doesn't ring true, and try to see if we can't get closer to what a strategy might be to help fill some of these gaps. I think we'll do this at the end. Okay, so one more thing I want to talk about that I don't have slides for, but Teresa had mentioned, is that at the same time that all of this was going on, we were also working with a number of national partner organizations to look at understanding what are the training and technical assistance needs of those that are engaged in performance improvement. And so right now we have a lot of different data sources coming in, but that data is not harmonized, and we don't have a way of sort of looking at it together to help us understand collectively what the needs are. And so we conducted an environmental scan just to understand what all of the data pieces were that we had that might indicate what the need is around training and technical assistance. And we expected this and found that the data that we are able to collect right now is not sufficient to really help us understand what the needs are. And so we think that there are opportunities to identify ways in which we can better understand the needs of the workforce, and we can align with other efforts. So, for example, regional public health training centers are required to do a needs assessment of the workforce across the country, and so there might be opportunities for alignment there. But we also see those two pieces of work connecting with the association or the society or the network or the center or whatever this ends up being, this strategy. To, you know, really sort of kind of assess what the needs are and then using that mechanism to help really respond to those needs. So we're going to do some more listening, and I have some questions for you all, but I got my time warning, and so we're going to move on and let Ron present, and then we'll come back and hear from you. So maybe you can let some of those ideas marinate a little bit.